Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, May 29th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. It's Memorial Day 2006, and a little town about 2 miles from where we live is actually the birthplace of Memorial Day. It was actually started off being called Decoration Day because three widows would go and decorate the graves of their husbands that died in battle, and Decoration Day then became Memorial Day, and this is the birthplace about 2 miles from here. We're going to go there tonight to have a little festival, a parade, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we just hope everybody keeps in mind really what Memorial Day is all about. Now, the big news over the weekend. The Naudette brothers, they're infamous for shooting, as far as we know right now, the only live footage of WTC-1 being struck on the morning of 9/11. Mm-hmm. Well, they're now threatening legal action against Dylan Avery and the makers of Loose Change Number 2. And Lisa first found out about this yesterday, I guess.
Yeah, and it looks like their website is gone. All that's up there is the legal document from the lawyer, the law firm of the Naudette brothers.
Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do today on Wing TV is we're going to give you the reality of this situation. Now, I know there's a lot of these different chat rooms and message boards that are talking. Lisa's been taking a look at what they have to say, and I'm sure within the next couple of days it'll be on the alternative talk radio. But we want to give you the reality of what's going on, because one of our biggest disappointments with this Patriot Movement alternative media is that there's so many people that have no firm basis in reality when they look at a situation.
Right.
So what we want to do is we want to cut through all of the rah, rah, rah. We want to cut through the fan clubs. We want to cut through the rhetoric. And right here is the letter. We want to give you the lowdown on what Dylan Avery and these other two kids are up against that made Loose Change. So why don't you start, Lisa, telling everybody a little bit about what's going on in these little chat rooms.
Well, you know how we see the groupies rallying behind people like Alex Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have the same thing going on a, I guess, a smaller scale with Dylan Avery in the Loose Change Forum, where they're running to his rescue. They're coming up with all kinds of absurd suggestions of things to do, and disregard the fact that Dylan Avery and Corey Rowe and Jason Burmes used footage without getting permission or release from the owners of the copyrighted work.
Yeah, I guess that's where we should actually start here, is that the biggest complaint from Gideon and Jules Naudette, along with filmmaker James Hanlon, who's a New York City Fire Department or a firefighter and filmmaker, is that they're saying that they used footage that was copyrighted by Paramount Studios and by the Naudette brothers. They used it without permission. And one of the, I guess, people involved, or one of the entities involved in this potential lawsuit is Paramount Pictures, which is
right.
Major Leagues. So this is the reality of the situation. And really, the only time copyright infringement cases go to court or are threatened is when there is a substantial amount of money made.
Not necessarily. Judges use four factors to resolve these disputes because it's such a murky area. It's subjective and due to interpretation of whatever judge hears the case. They judge these on a case-by-case
mm-hmm.
basis. The four factors are the purpose and character of your use of someone else's work, the nature of the copyrighted work, the amount and substantiality of the portion that was taken, and the effect of the use upon the potential market. The last two factors being the triggering criteria for lawsuits. How much money the original owner of the copyrighted work stands to lose by you taking their work and using it without permission. And the fourth one was the effect how much was taken. If you've taken the heart of it,
right.
If you've used the most memorable aspect of their work, then it's likely not to go in your favor.
Right. Here's where Dylan Avery made his first mistake, is in various interviews that we've heard, he's bragging about how many copies of Loose Change they sold, and the number that's bandied about is approximately 50,000 copies. Now, he's selling them on his site for $17. There's other sites like Dave Von Kleist that are selling them for $20. So if we say $17 a pop, and he sold 50,000 copies, that's up above $800,000 in revenue. Now, if they put the same footage out and they sold 25 copies, the Naudette Brothers and Paramount Studios wouldn't be suing them. But Dylan had to brag about how many he was selling, and all of a sudden, this was on the cover of USA Today, the front page a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and the Naudette Brothers are saying, wait a second, they're generating close to $1 million.
And that's only one publication. They have a whole media thread on the Loose Change forum, Dylan Avery's internet forum, of all the media articles that have been written. And in one that I read by this Maria Cairns, they're talking about how many of all these videos have been sold at anti-war protests all over the country. This DVD's been screened, you know, in London, all over the country, overseas.
Oh, and what they did was they made themselves very pronounced.
Vulnerable.
In how many they were selling. That was a big, big no-no. And I don't know why they would even remotely do something like that to brag about how many they're selling. What they did was they caught the attention of this studio and the Naudette Brothers, and they're basically saying that this is infringement of the copyright, and it also infringes on the federal Lanham Trademark Act. So there's the basis. Now, there's no official lawsuit that's been filed yet. This letter is nothing more than a threat to, first of all, get all of this information off the internet to the best of their ability, and then they said something will follow. But let's get back, Lisa, to a lot of people's inability to see the reality of the situation. What were some of the people in these little chat rooms saying?
Well, you're not gonna get a lawyer. That was one suggestion.
Yeah, that's kind of a
now,
given, right?
Well, the whole thing is, in a case like this, what lawyer in their right mind is going to go up against Paramount and a very powerful Jewish law firm in New York without getting a massive retainer right up front?
Yeah.
They're not even going to write a letter without a massive retainer right up front, which is what another researcher said. Another suggestion was ask Jimmy Walters. You know, Jimmy Walters, the cash cow that people in the 9/11 Truth Movement constantly suck him for money. He's got to be dry now. And of course, he has lawyers too. And what do you think his lawyers are going to say?
Well, they look at Jimmy Walters like he's the tooth fairy. That whenever anybody anywhere has a problem, let's go to Jimmy Walters. Well, Jimmy Walters is so disgusted with the 9/11 Truth Movement and all the money that's got sucked out of him that he ain't giving money to anybody anymore. So, next.
The suggestions get more ridiculous. It's like these people don't even seem to have a grasp of the legal issues involved with this situation.
Yeah.
Let's write letters to the offending law firm and ask them politely to withdraw the threat.
Yeah. Now, do you think the Naudette Brothers...
If it was that easy, we would all get out of threatening lawsuits... Yeah.
What we're talking about is Paramount Pictures, one of the three or four biggest movie studios in the world. We're talking about high-priced lawyers, and we're talking about the Naudette Brothers sniffing money in this deal.
Right.
Do you think that by sending them a few emails and saying, will you please just back off, they're going to do it? No. When they send something like this, they mean business.
Never underestimate the greed factor.
Exactly.
The next one was, let's bombard the law firm with emails and phone calls. Because, you see, people are very upset. They're swearing, at the Naudette Brothers online, and they're, doing a lot of cursing and whatnot. That's all you need to do. Send a bunch of high-powered lawyers some harassing, intimidating emails. Do you think this might have a negative consequence for Dylan?
And, it's funny because these kids are so naive that Lisa was calling them the diaper babies, and I think that's a perfect word because here they are already pissed off that their footage is being used without being reimbursed at all. So we're going to get a bunch of diaper babies to incite them more and start swearing at them and being hot-headed. It's
so that
unbelievable.
They're not even remotely in the mood to be lenient in any way. It doesn't make any sense. And then Phil Jahan, Commander Pod, had to relate an idea from his so-called friend that the Naudette Brothers don't even really exist.
Yeah, here we go. So
I think they exist.
So this is kind of like the no planers that say no planes hit the towers. It was just a hologram.
Well, you know why they're saying that? Because no one's seen anything of them since that footage first came out. That's right.
So it's like blue screen technology or whatever. So the Naudette brothers don't even exist. They're just a hologram. Well, we got a picture of them on the Wing TV homepage. They exist. And after reading this four-page letter, they exist very much, and they're very, very upset.
Yeah, you know, even if Dylan can persuade the court or his lawyer in his favor, just the cost involved and the time involved in going into litigation is horrendous. In one circumstance, it was over $20,000, which far exceeded what the person benefited off the film. Right. And
that's low end for sure. What I would suggest to Dylan Avery, and if anybody is watching this, forward this idea to Dylan, is I would talk to the Naudette brothers as soon as possible and come up with a solution as soon as possible. And, you know, the Naudette brothers have some stipulations. I'd say, all right, follow the stipulations, get this over and done with, and then move on and get the other 9/11 information out
there. As it stands, it's a rather impossible situation because this video has been given out for free, copied by thousands of people, mm-hmm. and it's all over the place. It's on YouTube, it's on MySpace, it's on Google Video. It was number one in Google Video for a few weeks there. And it's been sold. It's being sold by the Power Hour, by Let'sRoll911.org, by other people. Mm-hmm. I think Alex Jones has run some of that footage. That footage has been run, some of it, on Fox News.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. You're never going to scrub it off the Internet.
Now, what this footage contains, and they say in this letter, that Loose Change uses 14 different pieces of footage. Okay, they've shot, I guess, 140 hours of total footage. The Loose Change video uses 14 different unauthorized pieces of footage, and the tactic that the Naudettes are using is, first of all, they're saying this is priceless, historic footage, some of the most historic ever. They haven't been compensated. Then they're saying that their work is being harmed because Dylan Avery and Loose Change are saying that this was a government inside job.
Right.
And it's casting the Naudette brothers' light or work in a negative light. Now, everybody knows.
They're using the two most... two trigger factors for a lawsuit. They're offended by Dylan Avery's work, and it affects their potential to make income off of their original work.
Right, and of course, everybody knows that 9/11 was an inside job. Everybody knows that what Dylan Avery is doing in Loose Change is on the mark. That doesn't matter to the Naudette brothers. They don't care about government conspiracies, inside jobs, or anything else. You know what they care about? Money.
It's
they
not all on
money.
The mark, by the way.
He
includes some stuff in there that isn't on the mark. But here's an example of a work that's a case that's not fair use, okay? A TV news program copied 1 minute and 15 seconds from a 72-minute Charlie Chaplin film and used it in a news report about Chaplin's death. The court ruled that the portions that were taken were substantial and part of the heart of the film. Here's another one you might be interested in. The TV news broadcast used 30 seconds from a 4-minute copyrighted videotape of a 1992 L.A. beating of Reginald Denny. The ruling was not fair use against the people who copyrighted because who used the film without the copyright, saying it was commercial, it took the heart of the work, and it affected the copyright owner's ability to market the video. And so what I just said is reflected in this letter from the lawyers to Dylan Avery.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell how powerful and how on the ball a legal firm is by the lawsuits or the letters they write. You remember when Stanley Hilton came out and he was going to sue the courts or whatever? And you remember when Phil Berg did it? We read those those letters and those lawsuits, and they were horrendous. They were full of typos. The logic in it was vast backwards. This here is done by people that know how to spell. They know how to construct sentences. They have logic behind it. And these people mean business. And what they're saying also is that on the video, which is available in stores, I mean, the Naudette Brothers, it's called 9/11, the Filmmaker's Commemorative Edition. Okay, it's in video stores.
Right, we've seen that.
And they say that the copyright is very clearly placed right on the video.
That's right.
And that that when Dylan Avery lifted this, he knew damn well that it was copyrighted, but he didn't seek permission or a license to do so. That's real hard to fight against in court. Now, tell people what somebody said in one of those forums.
Well, a lot of them were just rallying to Dylan's defense, disregarding the fact that Dylan did the wrong thing by not getting the proper releases and permissions. And they're saying that what the Bushies and, you know, the New World Order did on 9/11 far exceeds the crime of what Dylan did. Mm-hmm. This is true, but it doesn't justify Dylan not getting the proper consents and whatnot. So there was one person in Dylan's forum who was making valid points. A person who has worked in television and was trying to explain to everyone in the forum that you need proper releases from every person you're going to use on the footage. TV stations have gotten into all kinds of legal issues, even over people who've signed the releases, taking them to court. So, and he was trying to explain how that whole system works, and nobody would listen to him. And Dylan was actually present on that thread exchange, and I was sitting there watching it, and they banned the guy.
Yeah. Now, this is the freedom...
They banned the guy for making valid points.
Yeah, this is the freedom movement. This is the truth movement. This is a movement that advocates, supposedly, freedom of speech. And you know how many of these little chat rooms delete people or ban people when they say something that they don't agree with? Here was a guy that was saying, look, I'm in TV. I'm not a little diaper baby like you 20-year-olds.
Well, you know what they didn't like?
What?
That he said, it looks like Dylan's probably going to get his ass handed to him in court. And right after that, they banned him.
Well, and
they don't want to hear stuff like that.
That's the same thing I'm trying to say is, if Dylan doesn't use his head, he is going to get his ass handed to him in court. And this could linger on him for years down the line if there's such a huge judgment against him, especially, Lisa, if this goes to court and there's a judge here that's pro-government, and he's seeing Dylan Avery saying the government did it, he might bring that gavel down real hard. That's why I'm telling Dylan Avery.
Right, okay. There. What judge that's sitting on the bench right now is going to buy into Dylan Avery's video?
Yeah.
None of them are publicly subscribing to the whole conspiracy theory, you know, that the government was involved in 9/11. So right off the bat, he's starting off with at least one strike against him.
Yeah. Here's another thing is, another way to look at it. What if Alex Jones, his newest movie coming out, okay, at the $74 per ticket convention or seminar in Los Angeles, and say somebody came and took 14 of the most vital scenes from his movie, put it into another video, and made almost $1 million off it without getting any permission from Alex Jones to do so. Do you think Alex Jones, when he would snip $1 million, do you think he would sit idly by and do nothing? Absolutely not. Alex Jones would be suing him for his bottom dollar. So we have to put this in perspective and look at it realistically.
I guess it would have been an issue either way, whether he got permission or not, but the point is that he sold it. He used this work and sold it for profit.
Yep.
Instead of just allowing it to only be free on the internet. See, Wing TV shows are free on the internet. You know, we use a lot of different video clips, still photos,
right,
and whatnot in the photo galleries, but we don't charge for these things.
Right.
You know, and in this case with Dylan Avery, less would have been better. And he can't even get out of the whole issue with a de minimis argument, meaning that only a very tiny portion was taken from the copyrighted material because he's used so much material.
Yeah. And now, to let you know what he's up against, is that these lawyers are saying, since this is a clear copyright notice, that they did it knowingly and willfully, that they're going to potentially charge them $150,000 for each act that they violated. $150,000
of profit. So what did that come to, like 2.1 mil?
Well, times 14. Whoever's good at math can do that. Plus the client's costs for bringing a potential lawsuit.
Attorney fee.
Plus the attorney's fees. This is going to be major league. Dylan Avery better listen and get this done with as soon as he can.
Well, you know, they gave him 3 days to remove the footage from his website.
Right.
And if I was Dylan, I would be contacting all of my buddies who have it on their websites for sale, like Phil Jahan and Dave Von Kleist.
Yeah.
And as of this morning, as of a little while ago, it's still up on Von Kleist. It's still up on Jahan's forum on his website for sale. Plus, it's everywhere. I mean, he's never going to get it off
no.
the internet completely.
But we were talking about this yesterday, and
even
the lawyers
on his site, right?
Yeah, the lawyers don't care about how many different sites this is on. The lawyers right now care about the money aspect. So they know he can't scrub this video everywhere.
Right.
It's
they
impossible.
Made it impossible.
Yeah.
Right.
What they care about now is that they see money, and they've even threatened to go back in Dylan Avery's records. Let me read the exact line. He says that they want an accounting of all revenues from sales of the Loose Change film. So these guys aren't pussyfooting around. And here's one last thing to think about is, we talk a lot about illegal immigration on this show. We don't mind if somebody comes into this country legally,
right.
if they go through the proper channels. And there's a million people in the Patriot Movement that feel the same way. They say, let them come in, but they have to follow the rules and do it the proper way. If they just sneak across the border, that's not good. Well, if we want the illegal aliens to follow the rules and go through the proper channels, how then can we say, oh, wait a second, you know, here's someone that can violate a copyright. I mean, it has to be consistent across the board.
There are a lot of people, Victor, that are saying that it's the New World Order trying to take down the 9/11 Truth Movement, this thing going on with Dylan Avery, and that there's Zionists behind
it. I wouldn't doubt that at all.
And there very well probably is all of that going on.
Yeah, and that has to be taken into consideration, too, to see what a gargantuan battle is in front of these kids now.
Right, but remember, it wasn't an inadvertent error. They knew what they were doing. Dylan Avery has made remarks himself that he just threw the whole thing together and in his spare time, and he wanted to get it out there.
And well, see, I think he's right. I think he probably threw this together, put it out there, and never thinking twice that all of a sudden he was going to sell 50,000 copies of them.
I think the first one was thrown together.
Yeah.
The second one was more polished.
Yeah.
And a lot more work and attention, it looks like, went into it. A lot more...
Yeah.
intricate, you know.
And see, we were included in both Loose Change 1 and Loose Change 2. In Loose Change number 1, Dylan Avery used an article from 9/11 Exposed that I wrote. And in Loose Change 2, there's some footage of us up in New York City at the 4th anniversary of Ground Zero. So we're in both of them. And, you know, by and large, most of the information he has in these documentaries are correct. But right now, the main point, the main thrust of what we're trying to say to Dylan Avery is, you better get your shit together, you better face these people, and get it resolved as quick as you can, because if you linger around and be arrogant and let them take it to court, they're going to wipe you, they're going to wipe the floor with you.
Yeah, I guess his intention is to make Loose Change the final cut, that's the next version, and remove the offending footage. But you see, this Naudet footage is just one client
right.
who has footage that no permissions or releases were obtained for. There are other clients, as this law firm states
yeah.
in the letter to Dylan.
They could even do a class
that
action.
Actually, like, he could be getting hit down the road with other lawsuits
yeah.
now because he didn't get permissions from any of those people either
yeah.
for their footage.
He better think, and with this new edition coming out, every single bit of footage in there, I'd be walking to people with
yeah.
with a contract and a pen saying, give me permission.
You know, this one guy in the mainstream news actually had video of a person signing the release, and that person still took him to court.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, it's just a very murky area, yeah. and we urge Dylan to, you know,
use
do the
his
right
head.
Thing. Yeah.
And see, and we'd also
stop
urge
listening to these people around you.
These diaper babies that are 20-year-olds that don't know a damn thing about anything in the world. We're bringing you right now the realism of this situation.
And if you'd like to learn about fair use and cases like this, examples, go to the Stanford Law website.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, it's very easy to read. It's not a bunch of legalese. And you'll get a good idea of what constitutes fair use and what doesn't. And it does vary from judge to judge and court to court and case
right.
to case.
We wish Dylan Avery and the others the best of luck. If they want any advice from us, they know where to find us.
I doubt it.
And also, we're going to be back tomorrow with our Jeff Rentz show that we're going to do today, but we thought this was more breaking news. So anyway, until tomorrow, keep your eyes open. There's a lot going on. Enjoy your Memorial Day. Remember what it's all about.
See you then.